Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. Hey, thanks for joining me on the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. I'm Tom Bump, your host. And today we're talking about day camps for impact. A lot of people wonder, should I try a day camp? Or maybe you have a day camp, and I'd love to hear about it on our Facebook group. You're wondering about, what are day camps? How can I do them? How are they different than Bible school? Are they a good way to engage kids and their friends? Does it really draw community? All those kind of things. There's probably lots of questions you have, or maybe you've never even thought about a day camp. Well, my friend Kent Curry, he loves day camps. And he loves doing these. He's been doing them for years. He's got a lot of great ideas to share with y'all. So I can't wait to dive into this episode so we can dig in all about day camps and how anybody, any church can do this. So Kent, welcome to the KMC, man.
Hey, it's great to be here with you, Tom. And I just want to say hello to everyone joining us today. Happy to talk about day camps.
Love cool. This yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and where you serve. Let's hear about Kent Curry.
So Kent Curry, I have been serving in Fairfield, Connecticut for the past 9 years as the children's pastor here. We started out about 800 or 900 people when we first came, and we just built one edition about 4 years ago, and we're almost done with a second edition. We have doubled in size.
Wow.
In the past 4 or 5 years. So tremendous growth. We're just trying to hang on here at BlackRock and staffing with the kids ministry. And then before that, I was in Akron, Ohio at a church called The Chapel. So I was there for 4 years at that church. So I've been doing kids ministry roughly, 13, 14 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have you on the podcast again just to talk about how do you handle explosive growth. Yeah. So I'm making a note that you will
hang
be
on
back.
For dear life.
I bet. That's like going Mach 3 with your hair on fire. Yeah. We're going to have to do an episode about that. And how did you handle it? How do you structure? What do you do when you don't have, and God just says, okay, I'm going to blow your hair back. Here we go. We're going to come back to that one for sure. But you told me day camps are your jam. And anybody who says that, I'm like, all right, I want to know what about that makes you, because it sounds to me like a lot of work and a lot of stress and a lot of volunteers, and you're talking summertime. So I can't wait to hear what you got to say. So let's start with the why, because I think that's the best place to start. Why day camps?
Well, at first I didn't really know the why. At my last church, was the kids director under a children's pastor who had run day camps for over 30 years. And I learned from him and watched and quickly fell in love with the idea of a day camp. A lot of our ministry hinges on about 1 or 2 hours a week that we get these kids. And my biggest reason that I love day camps is the fact that we get these kids all day. We get them every day of the week. And these kids are looking for meaning, for purpose. And I'll tell you, impact happens quickly when you have them all day. And I'll tell you, we see life transformation every week at camp. We see kids coming to Jesus every Friday. And it takes a long time when you have them an hour or two a week. But when you have them at camp, those relationships happen a lot quicker. We're able to really build into these kids. And the daily time, if you think about it, in the number of hours, we're really spending more time with these kids than their parents are during a week.
Wow, yeah.
And if you think about that in regards to leveraging the influence, we have been granted a huge opportunity to influence these kids for the kingdom, to really point them to Jesus.
Wow.
And so we consider it, I consider it the biggest, most impactful ministry that we have in our kids' ministry. And we do Vacation Bible School, and we do events throughout the year, and we do Sunday school, and we do clubs, or, you know, a midweek program.
Uh-huh.
But the time that we get at camp is, I think it's a hugely leveraged outreach and a hugely leveraged impact for the kingdom that we really don't see anywhere else.
Oh, I was going to say, I love
it. I love it.
Yeah.
You see, I'll tell you, when you stand next to a mother who is in tears at the end of camp because of the influence that a counselor made on her son in a positive way, and she just can't thank him enough because of the gift that was given, I step back and say, this is why we do it. We do it because life change happens here at camp. So I love it.
Wow. Now, I know, especially out east, there's a lot of camps out there. Even around the nation, I think there are a lot of choices that families have. So what's the secret of making your camp rise above that so that families go, yeah, this is where we want our kids to go?
Yeah, so when I came here and took over the camp, they had about 20 to 30 kids in a very saturated field. And parents in the area weren't really looking for like a Christian camp. They just wanted a day camp that was good for their kids, that was inexpensive, and just that they could sort of not have to worry about their kids while they're working. So it started by me kind of evaluating the landscape, and I got a listing of all of the camp prices or all of the area camps. And we just started by undercutting them all. We don't have a whole lot of overhead. We don't have to pay to use the building. We do kind of give some money for maintenance and just facility, and just if we've damaged anything in the building. But for the most part, we didn't have the overhead that a lot of these other camps did. So we were able to come in cheaper. And then I would say the big reason that rose us above was the fact that we are a relationship-based camp. We're not an activity-based camp. We do lots of activities. But the reason kids come back to our camp is because a counselor made an impact in their lives, and they want to come back and hang with that counselor. It doesn't matter what we're doing. They could be climbing through the mud. But if they're able to do it with that counselor, they want to do it. So we differentiate ourselves that we're not selling, hey, it's a computer camp and we're going to teach your kid HTML or a soccer camp. We are, we do lots of those type of things, but our main focus is relationships. And I remember talking to my executive pastor at the time, and he was a little skeptical. He said, are kids really going to come if you're not sort of trying to sell like an event or a product? And I think parents who are just checking our camp out for the first time want to see what events we have planned for the week. And we have theme weeks every week where we extreme camp, or we have an animal week, or different kind of themes for the week. But it's the and they all want to know that at first, but when their kid comes, when they sign them up the next year, they want to know if that counselor is coming back and how can I get my kid to connect with some people.
That's so powerful.
I'll tell you, relationships is the key, and who you hire and how you spend intentional time with training and preparation of your camp staff makes all the difference. And you know, you would see this in the corporate world as well. We know we're going to get a different experience when we go to Chick-fil-A from the staff there than we would at McDonald's.
Right.
And a certain degree, camp is a customer service business. We serve these families. We try to best love and help their kids. And we're not just kind of throwing up a bunch of inflatables and saying, hey, you know, go jump on them and we'll watch. We really seek to actively help our counselors to be in relationship with these kids. And I'll tell you, that's where life transformation happens.
Yeah. So tell me, because this, man, I love what you're saying here, and man, having a Chick-fil-A mindset versus a Mickey D's, that's powerful. That's transferable even on Sunday mornings. We need to have our small group leaders thinking that way too. So what, give us a picture of what you do at your day camps. Cause you mentioned some different ideas and some elements, and yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking, yeah, do you just, I mean, is this like camp where you're doing horseback riding and in the pool time and crafts? And what do you do? What are some of the elements at your day camps that you do? And maybe even some of the themes that you do?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, the big win is we divide them up into six teams and they're color teams, and the counselors really own and create team spirit within those teams. They compete against each other. And so that baseline, when you come to camp, you feel a part of a group. And these six teams all come together every morning for like a morning rally, like, you know, kind of a 45-minute, let's sing together, let's play some games, let's kind of get prepared for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they move into seven acts, like acts of a play. And each act is 45 minutes. And so they will rotate between like crafts and Bible time. And we have a snack shop time. We've got an outside time. We have a team time, which is basically the team can do whatever they want. We have a competition time where they will go head to head against another team. And I think I'm missing one other. Just outside time. They have to spend some time outside. But that's kind of the basic structure. And within that, we try to add something new every day. So like one day we might have a magician. Another day we might do a really fun competition that we had to rent an inflatable for. One day we might do a carnival. So we try to do something different every day. So there's never 2 days that are the same. You just never know what you're going to
keep them guessing.
And then at the end of the day, after the seven acts, they all come back together and we have a closing rally that's 30 minutes. And I'll tell you, the secret sauce that we love is we have team points and a big scoreboard that we do every day. And so they get a ranking on the day via how well they did in a lot of different areas, including the competitions. And then at the end of the week, we declare a team of the week and we bring them up on stage and make a big deal about it. They get bracelets, they get ice cream. They get, you know, just a chance to celebrate that their team was the best that week.
And, cool.
It's really a great kind of collaborative, and really, I'll tell you, it's a fuel for the counselors, because it's like they want their team to be recognized. So that's kind of a typical day. We also do, we do one offsite trip a week, usually on Thursdays. And we'll go to the beach, or we'll go to a museum, or we'll go to a park. But just something that goes with the theme. So you are asking about the themes. We have six themes for the 6 weeks of camp that we do. And we'll do an animal week. We'll do an extreme week. We'll do our most popular week is Wet and Wild week. And that means the whole week you just got to wear a bathing suit every day because you're going to get it. And you know what? I'll tell you, sometimes on something like Wet and Wild Week, it's as easy as asking every kid to bring squirt guns to camp and have one huge squirt gun fight. And we all just stand back and kind of
watch. Let them go.
We do.
All you got to do is supply water.
Well, yeah, I know. Exactly. We do a creative week where kids who maybe do drama or sing and act can work on things. We do a galaxy week where we kind of talk about space. And then this week, we're doing a new one. The last week, we're calling it virtual week. And so we're kind of taking video games and making them life size and doing, you know, like Mario Kart races and Angry Birds.
Nice.
Things like that. So... so we have the theme weeks.
Fantastic.
We've got different things every day. But like I said, the secret sauce is the counselors on their teams and the really feeling a part of a unit and feeling like they belong. So
cool. Wow.
I hope
that sounds
makes
like
sense.
A lot of
I know
fun.
I just kind of
it does.
I feel like I just threw a lot of information at you, but
that's okay. I mean, because I think it gives people a big picture of, hey, you know, because all this stuff, I mean, it makes sense. It's like, yeah, I mean, in children's ministry, we do a lot of these kind of things throughout the year, and it's really pulling stuff together. And so I know some people may say, wow, that does sound like a lot, but what have you learned about doing these day camps? And then let's talk about how is that different from VBS, but what are some of the key things you've really learned? You've mentioned already counselors making the difference. And that you really emphasize not so much the activity, but the relationships in the activities and around the activities. But what else have you learned about doing these day camps?
Well, the biggest thing I would say that I have learned is the incredible high value that you need to put on training your staff. And so every year I feel like we ratchet it up a little bit every year, just because I cannot, and you know what? I will say this because I've learned the hard way. I've paid for it with counselors who maybe made mistakes because maybe I didn't train them well enough. But our handbook, we have a handbook that's probably 45 pages that they need to read and take a test on before they can start working at camp. This year, I also sent them 9 training videos that they needed to watch and answer questions on before camp starts. So something I've learned is just how important it is to have a well-trained staff and just good leadership, and a good assistant director. Something else that I think I'm really trying to learn for this coming summer, because I've run camp so long, I feel like we've created this machine that just kind of runs. But I also have learned that these counselors, especially counselors who have been there a number of years, and I've had several who have been there 3, 4, 5 years. I've got one who's been there probably 15 years. Can you believe he's worked at camp for 15 years. But just the value of giving them the opportunity to weigh in more so. And I think sometimes it's easy to be like, these are 21-year-old college kids. I'm sure we know better than they do, but I think they have a lot to bring to the table. So I think something... probably a new thing I've learned this past year is just stopping the things that maybe you've done for a long time and just being willing to listen and hear from your counselors of how we can make camp better, making it a little bit more collaborative. And I think that would go true to our kids ministry as well. A lot of these teachers who are in the trenches bring a lot to the table to offer us to make the ministry better. And sometimes we can just get ideas in our head of, hey, this is how it's supposed to go, and here's your paper, and go do it. But I think just having a posture of collaboration and a posture of listening will take
it. That's really good.
So those are kind of the big things. I would say the rise and fall of our camp is leadership and the counselors that we hire. And I know I'm still going on to the counselors, but we also have a pretty thorough application that they have to fill out. So it kind of weeds out
kind of people that are just looking for a summer job, and they, you know, it's either this or flipping burgers. I think we ask them about their relationship with Jesus. We ask them about some things that they've learned. If they've been in our church, we try to see what ministry they've been in and who knows them the best. So we do take a lot of time in our hiring process as well.
Good.
So those are just some things that I've learned over the year. The structure, I would say, has remained the same in a lot of ways because it works. And so every day they come and they get a schedule for the day, and we kind of mix up the schedule, but they kind of go between the rally, these seven acts, and then we do a closing rally on the front and the back end before that, we have like a pre and post care, but that's basically our day.
Yeah. So we kind of answered the question of how is it different than VBS? And I think that's it, is because this is totally, now is this on your church campus or do you do this at a different facility?
It's on our church campus, and it's incredibly different than VBS in that, at least for our church, our VBS is run by all volunteers, and many of them only serve with us 1 week of the year. So you're dealing with a people who come in for a very minimal experience with kids 1 week a year versus people who are, you know, after you've trained, that you just have the ability to train a lot better and have a higher expectation level.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how it is when you're doing a VBS. You're just hoping you get 70 or 80% that come out to the training.
Right.
And here it's just a higher requirement level.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's good. So maybe, you know, I mean, people are starting to go, wow, you know what? Maybe I need to look into doing this. What are some things that people really need to consider before diving in on summer camp? You know, sometimes we in kids ministry, we're a little impetuous and we just jump in when we hear a great idea.
Right.
Obviously you would say, don't do that. What advice would you give people if they start to consider, hey, maybe we should start looking at changing from a VBS model to a day camp model?
I think if they were considering a day camp model, they should probably spend a week at the least with somebody who runs a successful day camp. There's just so much that one needs to understand. I mean, it's great. And once you kind of get it up and running, it's not, you know, I think the level of stress on our kids team, I think is lower running a day camp now than running a VBS. But I welcome anybody who would like to come and kind of just visit for a week and just see what it's like. Walk through the paces. I know there are other great Christian camps. I know Kids Stuff or Orange has a traveling camp that they do. There's a lot of great Christian camps in the Midwest, but go spend a week and say, hey, can I shadow and see what it's like? See what it takes. And there's a lot you can learn just by really getting insight and see. I wish I could say there was like a silver bullet, like read this manual and these are the five things that you need to do. But I think it's just walking through the paces and evaluating. Could we do this? I mean, I think space is another factor, and do you have the facility to do it? It doesn't take a lot, but there's a couple of key things. For us, we needed to have classrooms. We had to have classrooms because we had different teams. We needed to have a central area that we could all meet together, like a gym or like some place that we could put up a stage that we could worship and be together. We needed to have an outdoor play area, like a grassy area or concrete. We have very little grass at our church, so we use a lot of they play out on the concrete, but it works. So just some minimal requirements in regards to space. But everything I've learned from camp, I've learned from other people. And I think there are people who are farther along that have a wealth of information. Just little things like, how do you set up a registration form? How do you hire? How do you promote? How do you get the word out into the community? You know, we don't even really promote anymore. The moms just do it on Facebook, right? Like, you get a few families that love your camp and are willing to say, hey, check out this camp on Facebook. And that's so much more golden than us paying to put up advertisements for
camp. Right.
But anyway, I learned by watching, and I know that other people who have done this as well at their church did the same thing. And we who run camps welcome that.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. So let's talk about the kind of teams that you would need. You know, you've talked a lot about hiring. Are you hiring high school kids, college kids? Are you going outside of your church? And then, you know, what are some of the key leaders you have to be effective in running it? Does it take a large amount of team? Especially if you're in a smaller church.
Right.
How would they pull that off?
Right. So you're going to scale your team to the number of kids you think you actually will have. I've always had an assistant director, and I think you definitely need to have somebody who is older than a college kid as an assistant director. And so I've always had somebody in their 20s that just kind of helps us in regards to another leadership. Also, parents really like to speak to adults when it comes to their kids and maybe medical issues or just more significant, more in-depth questions they might have. So you need to have a good assistant director. But I would say you're probably, the way we started it was with, I think we did four teams. And for each team, we had two counselors on each team. We had two girls teams and two boys teams. We had a first, second, and third grade boy team and a fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boy team, and the same for the girls. And so I think we hired eight that first summer. And like I said, we took a lot of time in hiring. And I would say the best asset that you have are kids who have graduated outside of your youth ministry. So I would go and talk to my youth guy and say, who's come up through the ranks that are now in college that you think I should reach out to? And believe me, I am like a dog hunting a bone when I'm trying to find a good counselor. And I will hunt them down on social media, and I will say things like, hey, I was wondering if you were coming back home this summer. I know you grew up in our church. Any interest you might have in applying to work for us at camp? Of course, this is all on the recommendation of our youth guy and trying to latch on to maybe their former leadership teams from years past that have gone to college. And that's usually where I start. Our people from our church, formerly in our church. And then we kind of, from there, we do hire some upper high school age kids, usually seniors and sometimes juniors. And usually, I'd say probably 80% of them are within our church. And there's great peace in knowing that somebody knows these people and somebody can vouch for their character. I do try to hire within our kids' ministry. If they've been serving in our kids' ministry, that is a big plus. If they've already been working with the kids, we already know them. We know what to expect. And I would rather hire people that I know or my youth guy knows or a pastor knows than somebody off the street. So that's where we do the most of the hiring. And then after that, I might say to returning counselors, hey, do you have somebody that you would recommend that is in like your friend circle at your college campuses that you'd like to have come back to our church? And sometimes they will refer friends. And so it's a network of people. I did a college fair once about 3 years ago, and it was fruitless, and I got nothing. And so I'm not a big fan of going and putting up a big booth at a college fair. I guess if you have to kind of pound the pavement to get started, I understand, but I would say as much as you can, use the channels that you have within your church to hire your staff.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Good advice. Okay. So what are some things that people should avoid when it comes to this? Because I'm sure there's some things that you've gone, oh, I wished we had never done that, or wow. Tell us some of your mistakes, man. Yeah, confession's good for the soul.
That we have gone to that I never want to go to again. Well, I would say it's an evaluation of risk. There's always an evaluation of risk. And the places that you take your campers to, there's, you know, you're evaluating the safety and so a place that I would, we have a place here in Connecticut, a theme park called Lake Compounds, and there's no way we're going back there again. And we had for many years gone there, and they have a water park that is mobbed. It is just, it's mobbed. And here we are in the heat of the summer on a busy day with thousands of people at this water park and trying to keep track of your kids. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So this last year, scary. A counselor could not find one of his kids for a very long time. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you how long. I almost don't want to because it got kind of scary. And,
oh boy.
You know, we were getting to the point we had to leave, and we could not find this third grade boy. And come to find out after a long period of time, I'll tell you, this counselor was like, he was about ready to have a nervous breakdown. I found the kid on the lazy river. He was going round and round on an inner tube on the lazy river. And finally, after all the lifeguards were involved, all of our camp staff, we finally located this kid. And I said, man, never again. We're not going back here. It's not a safe place. So I would say one of the biggest risks that we face are the places that you go. So we try to eliminate places that are, you know, not good. We used to go to this beach that at low tide, kids could go all the way. I mean, it felt like it was a good half mile they could walk out. It would spread out, and it was just, I'm like, how are we supposed to keep track of all these kids? And, you know, we run about 140 kids a week. And so, just trying to keep track of them and all of them all. So evaluating risk with that, that's the big thing. We're like, no, not going to do that again. Also, just we in the past have, you know, had these enormous inflatables. This one, the big kahuna, it's probably 40 feet high. And it's got this enormous slide on it. And I'm like, you know what? Is it possible we can do this without somebody getting hurt? But kids are going on the thing all day. And it's just a matter of time before somebody takes a spill and, you know, does something. And over the past several years, we've kind of said, you know what, the risk is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So that's another thing we've said. We gotta stop doing that. You know, also, I probably just take a lot more time in the hiring. And I know I've already said this quite a bit, but I think just making sure that counselors and campers are in approved areas only. I think that we've gotten into trouble with that, of like them wandering the church and being in other areas of the building that they're not supposed to. So something I've learned is being a good report back to the church that we're a good fit for using the space. Sometimes what you don't want to be is a nuisance to the other activities and other things going on in the church building. So just, you know, spending a lot of time in training and just making sure that we are always kind to your church building, because camps take a beating on the church building.
Right. Sure.
So just making sure that everyone is aware of where you are allowed to be and where you are not allowed to be, and those right. kind of things. So those are some big things I've learned over the years. I think we try to get better every year, but sometimes you have to learn the hard way. I'll tell you that. Losing a kid for a good while.
Yeah.
But can you imagine losing a child for a long period, and the buses are coming, and you have 140 kids, and you have parents back at the church waiting to pick up their kids?
Yeah. I could feel my blood pressure going up just as you're telling this story. I remember I took a youth group to a day camp. We actually left for Michigan, went out to Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and were serving with this church that ran this day camp all summer long. Amazing people. But yeah, they and their leaders took this, and they probably had at least that many kids, and took them to, I think it's King's Dominion down there, technically in Virginia. Most of these kids have season passes to this right. place, and it's a water park and an amusement park. Mm. And the leaders had to take these kids. Now, the nice part was the director gave us the gift of saying, you guys don't have to supervise any groups. You could just go have some fun, because you've blessed us this week by serving. We want you to go have some fun, go hang out. But as a leader, I'm sitting there watching these counselors work with these kids and, you know, getting drug on all the rides and dealing with kids who don't want to go on a ride that everybody else wants to go on. And so, you know, just, and then taking them to the water park and letting them play around for a little bit and then bringing them back out and coordinating all that. Oh my Lord. I mean, it was hard for me to relax and have fun. Even I had zero responsibility that day, but just watching it as a leader, I was just like, how do they do that? Cause they did this every week. They always took the kids, or every other week. I don't know how often they did it, but it was scary. So I could just imagine, you know, that, yeah, as you're evaluating, you know, what kind of things you're doing, those are some definite things that you've got to be thinking through, and the risk and how the building is used and financial needs and all those kind of things. Those are important. So
yeah. And
hopefully we haven't scared anybody off with this.
Evaluating how these different parks are laid out, because if they're not laid out, we used to be able to do trips every couple of days because the camp was only 30 kids. Well, when you have 140 a week,
that's a bigger logistic.
The risk goes up, that the risk of something bad happen rises tremendously. So you have to think about things differently than you did if, I got 20 kids, we're going to throw them in a van. And but there's always risk. Yeah. There's risk in any of the things that we do.
Right.
And you just have to constantly be aware of and evaluating.
Right.
I always
say
the most important valuable possession that a parent has is their child, and they've entrusted them into your care. How do you tell a 17 or 18 year old kid how important that this is to this parent? Not to take that lightly.
Right.
We get it because we're adults, but, you know.
Yes. Yes. Makes sense. Makes total sense there. So if somebody was sitting there going, you know what, hey, I think we could do this, and I think this would give us something different than Bible school, what would be some of those first steps? I mean, you said, you know, yeah, go see somebody in action. But what are some of the things that somebody should also consider as if they were going to get this started?
Well, we have a pretty extensive handbook that I can make available to anybody who would like, that lays out everything that you need to know about a camp. And all of our counselors have to read it and take a test on it. And I would say that's an easy first step, is just reading about what this looks like. What does a day look like? And it covers everything. What are the dangerous places at camp? What time do I have to be there? What's kind of a good day structure? For us, we run 8:15 to 4:15. That just works for us. And you could probably get a hold of any camp manual or any camp handbook for most any camps. So just starting to read and seeing how they operate. And then evaluating your own community and saying, all right, well, maybe we can't do, you know, this enormous camp does, but what could we do that's scalable to our size? Maybe I've read 4 or 5 camp manuals. I've gone to visit a camp and I know our own people. I know what the need is. I've evaluated all the other camps in our area. I've decided how I can maybe come in at a lower cost and make it attractive. I'll tell you something else that's incredibly important. And it was an easy thing that we threw together on Wix.com, but we threw up a website. It gave us legitimacy. And we threw up pictures and videos and just made it something that made it easy for parents to check out. Uh-huh. And so you need to have, I would encourage like you to think about a website. You could make it pretty quick and easily on Wix or some of these other easy to make websites. But starting by reading, starting by visiting, and evaluating your own church and the needs, and start out small. You know, my first summer, I think we had 20 to 25 kids a week.
Mm-hmm. And did you run the whole summer or did you just do like a week or two?
We did the whole summer, but full disclosure, the camp had already been running before I got there. It was really at a small state where it didn't look like it was going to survive very much longer. So maybe you do start out with 2 weeks. The tough thing is if you just decide to do 2 weeks, most summer counselors, most college kids are looking for a full-time job.
That's the downside.
You're probably not going to get too many young people that are, you know, going to be willing to come out and serve for 2 weeks, unless you just have them as volunteers, in which that's even harder to find is volunteers
who would give up. So you obviously charge your families for the day camp. What do you charge for people to attend?
Well, once again, just remembering that this is Connecticut, so we might be a little bit higher than other areas. But I think we're very low in our area. We charge $235 for most weeks, and then sometimes we charge $245 if we have like an extended day, and then we have a $50 pre-care cost for the week, which is like, you know, $10 a day if they decide they want to drop them off early. We open our doors as early as 7:30, and camp starts at 8:15, but then they could keep them as late as 5:30. We've got a $50 post-care if they want to tag that on as well.
Yeah.
And then we have a junior high camp, and we just upped our rates for that. They do a little bit more trips during the week, and they're between $270 and $280 a week. And then, you know, there's pre and post care on top of that. So comparatively in our area, that's what works. Maybe you could get away with $199 in your area, or yeah. you're in a lower income area and could do even less than that. But
right. But you want to be able to cover your expenses yeah. and take care, obviously pay staff. Yep. And so you've got to build that factor yep. into it and make sure that, mm-hmm. that, yeah, you're fitting with the economics of your region. Yep.
Keeping in mind scalability. So if you're starting small, maybe you're hiring four college kids, you know, and you just start with two teams, and then you could go to four teams, and you could go to six teams.
Right.
I'm kind of scaling up
right there. But, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That sounds really, really good.
I hope that makes sense of how to start out small. I know, you know, probably if somebody looks at the size of our camp and says, "How this is crazy!" It did not happen overnight. This is right. our seventh summer
yep.
here.
Yep.
And every year it just you know built a little bit more. I'll tell you another yeah, really important person to have is yes. a camp registrar. So I have a lady that I hire in January that takes care of all the registrations, fields all the phone calls, answers parent questions. I have, you know, I run the kids ministry here at the church. I don't have a lot of time to just like do all of, you know, the little nitty gritty stuff with
camp. Yeah.
So she comes on part time and I have a Google phone number. And so all the phone number or all the phone calls go to her phone, and then in the summer we have it transferred to my phones and my assistant director's phones. But a registrar is so key
yeah.
with that face of the camp to the parents. They wanna talk to somebody, and it
right.
could be an hour conversation that maybe you don't have because you're trying to run your kids' ministry. So you know, our registrar right now, she's about 20 hours a week, but maybe if you're starting out, just it's maybe 10 hours a week, and they accept all the registrations and make sure all the medical forms are filled out and you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So that person's yeah. key.
Good stuff. Okay. Well, if people have more questions and they want to do that, I mean, and yeah, we'll try to get a link for your handbook. We can put that in the show notes.
Yeah. Check out our camp. We're at summeradv.org, and you know, they could see what we're doing. But I'm happy to cool. answer any questions as well. If anybody wants to email me, do you want me to give my email address?
Sure. Yep. Yep.
My email address,
if you don't mind giving,
kcurrie, C-U-R-R-I-E, @blackrock.org. So,
right.
Happy to answer any yeah. questions about
that. Cool. Well, hey, thanks so much, Kent, for your time. Thanks for your passion, towards this. It sounds really exciting. It's something that people ought to look and maybe look at next summer, trying to do something like this. If you don't have something in this area, it might be a great opportunity to do something that's different. And that could be a huge blessing to the community around you, by providing something like this. Cause I know a lot of parents do get stressed out, especially single parents, get really stressed out with the summertime because they have to go find childcare. Yep. And yep. hey, this isn't childcare, it's ministry. Yep. And you're providing, yes, maybe in their mind, a childcare service, but shoot, when you, like you just said, you have so much time you can leverage in the name of Christ, mm-hmm. That it just seems like that would be a great opportunity, that a lot of churches may be missing, because we spend thousands of dollars on 1 week. And invest it all right there, and put all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is an opportunity to make an impact all summer long, mm-hmm. And really see some discipleship happen. So it's really sounds really cool. So man, thanks so much for your time. We definitely are going to have you back. And cause we got to talk about the whole, how do you handle it when God just, blows your mind with multiple growth, high rate of growth. I think that would be a lot of fun to talk about. So We will do that, man. Yeah. So thanks for being on this episode.
You bet. Happy to chat. And I know we're all kind of going after the same goal with reaching kids for the kingdom. And I think camp's just another avenue that we have found that really helps kids to know Jesus better.
Cool. All right. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you again with another great episode. Talk to you later. You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBum. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.